What's up, church? Merry Christmas. In Luke 2, this is a story that we're all familiar with. And I have to apologize right out of the gate because I'm not nearly as cute as the Charlie Brown kids. And so that's unfortunate. But we know the story, right, in Luke 2, that the shepherds are in the fields and they're tending to their flock. And these angels appear to them. And the Bible tells us that the shepherds are terrified. They're filled with fear, as we would probably be if angels showed up to this party. But I love what the angels say to them in verse 10. Read this with me. Verse 10, the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger." This is one of those things that we read every year around this time, right? We're always talking about this verse, but if you really think about this, can you imagine what these shepherds were talking to each other about from the fields to go look for baby Jesus? What was this? What were the conversations that they were having? Can you believe it? Our Savior was born. Our Savior has come. Like, the implications of that statement is absolutely staggering. It's unbelievable to think about that. This Creator God, the same God that has storehouses of snow, the same Jesus that Colossians tells us holds all things together, that Jesus, that Savior, was born in a manger. That Savior came to this earth to be with us. There are parts of the Bible that refer to Jesus as Emmanuel, and that means God with us. And here's what I know about the holiday seasons, is that some of us in here are having a great holiday season so far. Some of us are probably not, though. Some of us in here, maybe we have all of our loved ones around us, all of our families back in town, but some of us don't have our loved ones with us this year. Some of us have our presents under the tree that we think we deserve, and some of us maybe don't. But I know that regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the holiday seasons, the angel's message for the shepherds is the same that it is to us. Fear not, this good news is for all people. This good news is for each and every single one of us, that the Creator God, the Most High God, has come to this earth to be with us. He's come here and he was born in a manger to dwell among his people.
You guys can take a seat again. This has been a year of first for us. This is my first time actually doing Christmas Eve with our Eastview family. Usually we're on the road by now, but we were blessed. We had some family come down earlier last night, and we had prime rib for lunch today, and we're on our way hitting the road again after this. But it's also the first year that we've had a baby with us, and so words like swaddling mean a lot different thing this year than they have in years past. And I was thinking about, as Caleb even just shared, that baby in a manger, that wooden box that this God of the universe came to, what an amazing picture that is. And I was holding our little baby earlier today, and she was in that like super sweet mode, just those really cute sleeping modes. And I was looking at her and I was like, what are you going to do 30 plus years from now? What's Christmas going to be like for you 30 plus years from now? And it got me thinking about Jesus, and it got me thinking about this little baby that when he came and when he was placed in that wooden manger, God wasn't confused about what he was going to do 30 years later. God wasn't baffled by it. He wasn't wondering. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He was going to take that baby that he had and this little wooden box, and he was going to lay him on another piece of wood. He was going to lay him on a piece of wood that we just sang about, called a wonderful cross. And sometimes we think that the picture of the baby in the manger is so cool, so amazing, so wonderful, and we think the cross is so dreadful, so terrible, so ugly, but it is a wonderful cross. And the movement that happened through those 30 years from baby to the man to the Messiah is what has made all the difference in the world. It's the most important message, and that's why I'm excited to be with you guys tonight, because I've never gotten an opportunity to celebrate that with this group of people. The wonderful cross. Philippians 2 says that Jesus was obedient, he was humble, he submitted himself to the service of mankind. And that service drove him all the way to that wonderful cross, all the way to death. And as Mike said, today is about Jesus and today is about snow. And maybe as the year winds down, you do like I do, and you look back on the year that has just passed and you look ahead on the year that is to come. And I want you to know that I'm praying for snow tonight too. I normally don't, and I'm driving tonight, so I'm not down with that for safety purposes, but I'm praying for snow because of what Psalm 51 says. When David is praying to God, he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." This baby's cross, this second wooden figure that God laid his son on, has made all the difference for those of us who are dirty, for those of us who look on our year back with regret or remorse or the things that maybe didn't turn out the way we would have wanted them to or wished they would have. And we bring all this dirt and grime and gruck and nastiness, kind of like the snow looks right now. We bring that up to God at Christmas time and we say, "Does this baby in a manger have a message for me this year?" And it's not long before we're driven to that man on the cross who says, "If you will come to me, I can take that dirt and make it whiter than snow."
Amen. First time I heard that song, I asked Matt, I said, "Would you sing that on Christmas Eve? Because this is the perfect song to celebrate how God came to earth." We've talked tonight about snow. We've talked tonight about God in a manger. We've talked tonight about God on a cross. All those things to go together. And for just a moment, I want to share some time in God's Word. And so kids with us tonight, you're going to have to be really quiet for a few minutes. And I want to share something with you that's really cool that ties this all together. God's gift has to do with snow and with him in a manger and with him on a cross. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 of all places. There are some passages that we've read tonight from Isaiah that have to do with Jesus. You probably don't think of this one as a Christmas passage. But believe it or not, it ties all the things together. So let me read the Word of God tonight from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. Here's what it says. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it forth, bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent." Let me pray for us, and we're going to talk about God's word here for just a moment. God, we sincerely want to see you clearly on this Christmas night. We want to celebrate your gift, your son that was in a manger and your son that was on a cross. Would you help us see it clearly now and give me the words? Help excited little hearts and minds just to take in the wonder of who you are tonight. Thank you for a chance to share your word, Father. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. Well, you might be wondering what in the world this has to do with Christmas. You know that I searched all the snow passages and said, "Yes, that's a snow passage. I'm preaching from that one." And that's kind of how it landed. But as I began to meditate and pray about this passage particularly, it's like, man, that is such a Christmas passage. There's three parts, basically, that I just want to look at tonight for a few moments. The first one, he says, "As the rain and snow came down from heaven," verse 11, "so shall my word be that goes from my mouth." If you want to understand God's gift at Christmas, you need to understand this, that God's word goes out from him. In the same way that snow goes out, I love this because he says, when I send snow down from heaven, guess what the reality about snow is? Snow doesn't come back to heaven. He sends it down here, and it stays, and it turns into piles of snow sometimes. Sometimes it drifts. Sometimes you have to shovel it. Sometimes it gets wet and dreary and dark and all the ugliness of it. But snow doesn't come back. Eventually, snow melts. Eventually, snow stays on the earth and does exactly what God wants it to do. What does this have to do with Christmas? Well, the Word of God coming in the flesh is what Christmas is all about. Matt just sang about it, Emmanuel. If you listen to the Christmas story from John chapter 1, here's what the Apostle John says. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that's what this whole passage says to me. The rain and snow come down, so shall my word go out from my mouth. Jesus Christ was the living Word of God. If you think of Jesus coming to the earth, he's a baby, he was born of a virgin, he was born in Bethlehem, all that's true, but he is the Word of God. If you want to hear from God, then you look at Jesus. You want to understand God, then you look at Jesus. That's why this passage from Luke 2 that we read every year, "While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." God's word had come into the world. The word became flesh. Just as the snow comes to earth and stays, And God's words in the Old Testament, when he spoke them through prophets and spoke them through dreams and visions, that word now is alive and it's in the world and it's here to stay. But not only does God send his word to stay in the earth, but his word has purpose. Did you see that in verse 11? So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. Do you know why there's snow? God has a purpose for snow. You know why he sends rain on the earth and why he sends snow on the earth? Because he has a purpose for it. It's not just because God's up in heaven and he goes, hey, I think I'll play with some snow today. I like to think that he does. I like to think that God's up in heaven going, hey, it's Christmas, let's just play with the snow, and he just sends it. But I don't think that that's the way God operates. God operates all the time with a purpose. And his purpose, when he sends snow, is to make things grow. Do you see what it says in verse 10? The rain and snow come down from heaven. They don't return there, but they water the earth so that things can sprout and come forth, bring forth fruit. That's why he sends snow, so that it will melt and the water will get in the dirt and the dirt will grow the seeds. And we don't know how that all works, but he makes it happen. In the same way, God doesn't send his word without a purpose. Unlike many of us who, in our culture, we throw around a lot of meaningless words, don't we? A lot of us use words that don't have purpose. Some of you guys in here, Facebook, or you tweet. I tweet, not that sound that a bird makes, but actually typing things. Man, sometimes I look at the things that I tweet and I go, do those words have any purpose at all? If God had a Facebook or God had a Twitter, I suppose he'd be at real God. That would be where he'd find him. If he had a Twitter, he would never tweet any words that were worthless. They would all have purpose. They would all mean something. By the way, if he was on Facebook, how could you not like everything that he posted? Right? Well, it's God, like, you know. But if he were to tweet, if God were to tweet this Christmas, here's what he might tweet at real God: peace on earth, goodwill toward men, on whom his favor rests. Luke 2:14, hashtag peace, hashtag Emmanuel, hashtag white Christmas. And you know what the thing about God is? He's got 7 billion followers. And you might say, well, not everybody would follow God. Well, everybody follows God whether they know it or not. When he speaks, people are affected. He doesn't speak words that don't matter. And so when God spoke his living word into the world, when he spoke Jesus in the flesh, when Jesus was born, that baby in Bethlehem, God's living word come into the world, it had purpose. He had come to bring peace on earth. That's the purpose. And that leads us to this last part about the truth of the word of God. My word will go out from my mouth and it won't return. It will accomplish its purpose. And the last thing there, it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The word of God always accomplishes what the word of God sets out to do. And I want you to see what the purpose was. What was he trying to accomplish? Why does God send snow? Why does he send rain? So that things on the earth can grow, but more than that, giving seed to the sower, and listen to this, bread to the eater. God sends snow and God sends rain so that you and I have stuff to eat, so that we can grow things, and that we can feed cattle, and that we can take those things that are grown and we can make them into other foods. And you and I, we get to eat because God sends snow. Now, I want you to put this together. This is really cool. Verse 10, snow, rain, goes down. I got a purpose for it. Makes things grow. You get bread. Verse 11, my word goes out. It doesn't come back to me. I've got a purpose for it. And here's the purpose. Here's the reason. Here's the success story. That this little baby that was born in a manger, that this little baby who grew up and became a man and hung on a cross for our sins, that he becomes bread that you and I can eat. The Apostle John, later in his gospel, he records that there was a time where Jesus said to all the people, now you can imagine this, everybody's getting ready, okay, Jesus, get your red pens out, he's getting ready to talk, red pens, red letter Bible, okay, anyway, doesn't matter, it's Christmas Eve, you can't make me mad, you don't have to laugh at anything I say. Jesus is getting ready to speak, what's he going to say? And Jesus utters these incredible words, I am the bread of life. And I always love that quote this time of the year, because maybe you know this and maybe you don't know this, But the word Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, literally means Beth, house, Lechem, bread, house of bread. Isn't it cool that God sends snow to make grain so that you and I can have bread to eat? He also sends his living word, Jesus, to be born in the house of bread, to become the living bread, so that you and I can spiritually eat and be nourished forever. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. If you want to know why a baby was born in a manger, if you want to know why that baby grew up to be hung on a cross and die for sins, is because God's word always accomplishes its purpose. And the purpose of God was to save us from our sins, to take our sins that looked as scarlet and make them white as snow. That's what Jesus came to earth for, the living word of God. And it always accomplishes what God says it's going to accomplish. I don't know if you know this or not, but just 10 days ago on December 14th, something pretty rare and cool happened in the place where Jesus lived and did his ministry. We got a picture here. It snowed in Jerusalem. December 14th. That's a famous site right there. That's the Wailing Wall. And if you notice the wall that's there in the background, that's a remnant from the first century wall of Jerusalem where Jesus would have done ministry. He probably ran his fingers along that wall as a little boy coming to Passover. And in that place, Jewish people mainly, but people from all over the world come and they pray. And if you've ever been there, and I've been there a couple of times now, people stick little pieces of paper with prayer requests and names and things that they're praying for. It's called the Wailing Wall because the Jewish people, that's the only part of their promise in the Old Testament they have. They don't realize that Jesus Christ has come to become the Savior of the world that they were looking for all those years. How did this snow get here? Well, I think we figured that out, right? The guy who knows where the storehouses of snow are kept, the one who speaks a command and snow happens, the one who says, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow, he made it snow. It was sent from God. And I think in a real cool spiritual kind of sense, Jesus was snow to us. It was God's way of sending refreshment because a few hundred feet south of this place, David had his palace. David's original city of Jerusalem was much smaller. About 200 or 300 yards south of this place, David had his palace, and he likely wrote the words from Psalm 51 that Charlie quoted earlier, "Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." A few miles south from this site, maybe 6 miles or so, you find the town of Bethlehem, the house of bread, where David was born, but also where Jesus was born. I like to think, because I'm this way, that on that night that the angels came to talk to the shepherds, that it was snowing, because it snowed in Bethlehem just 10 days ago. I don't know if that's true or not. What I do know is that the spiritual landscape was forever changed. A snow, if you will, came on the souls of all mankind when the angels stood in front of the shepherds and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." A few hundred feet from the wall that we looked at earlier, where all the snow was, Jesus was tried and he was sentenced. And probably close enough where you could throw a rock from that place where it snowed, you could hit the place where he was crucified. Died for our sins so that our sins, which were scarlet, can be as white as snow. And honestly, and I joke with this with our congregation all the time, so if you come to church at Eastview all the time, you know it. If you're visiting, you don't know it. I pray for snow as soon as Thanksgiving hits. And I pray that God just blesses it, because to me, there's really nothing more beautiful, especially this time of year. But here's what I know. I don't think all of my brothers and sisters agree with me and are praying for snow. But here's what I can tell you about Eastview Christian Church and what we think here, especially at this time of Christmas. We are praying that the snow that was sent from God in the form of Jesus Christ comes in your soul and brings cleansing for you this year. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever you think God can't forget or change or cleanse away, isn't it amazing how just a nice coat of snow makes it all beautiful? In the same way, the God who sends snow sent his son so that everything in your life can be completely covered over and you can be made beautiful. Our prayer here at Eastview is that you have a white Christmas of the soul. This snowfall in Jerusalem is a Christmas reminder. Every time I see snow, when it snows, I get a picture of the powerful God who sends snow and also sends his word to cover the earth with a freshness and a renewed love. When I see it snow, I get a picture of how Jesus cleaned our lives, even though they were scarlet. And when it snows, I'm reminded that God has a purpose, and that's to save us from our sins, and that's why he sent this baby on Christmas night. And so, let it snow. Let's pray. God, so grateful to share your word tonight, and I pray that you would use it for your glory. Praise the Lord that you sent your son Jesus to die for us, but that he came as a baby, came into this world like your word does. Doesn't return without accomplishing its purpose to save us, to wash us, to make us whiter than snow. God, we celebrate the Christ child tonight. It's in his name we pray. Amen.